Hi, this is Rachel Stewart, and you're with Riding Shotgun. Last week, I spoke about the woke left and how the movement wasn't dying anytime soon. It seems only fair then that, having roundly criticised the yin, I should also diss the yang. I'm nothing if not an equal opportunity denigrator. There's a new entity in town termed the woke right, and there's been a ton of pompous intellectual debating going on recently about whether that's even an accurate moniker, which feels like a full-on distraction tactic to kind of deny it even exists. And as I'm sure you've likely worked out, I'm not an academic, and so I have no burning desire to endlessly debate whether it's best described as woke fascism, or the illiberal right, or the barbaric right, or the alt-right. The latter, gentler term, alt-right, is preferred by its proponents for obvious reasons. I'm much more interested in whether it's actually even a thing, and my non-academic inbuilt rural bullshit gauge tells me it's becoming so. Yes, it's in the early days of its configuration, but once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I've been seeing a lot of it online lately, and it appears to be growing rapidly. The woke part applies to the fact that while its proponents identify as right-wing, their strategy and perspectives mirror those of the woke left, a bit of cancel culture here, a smattering of character assassination there. And just like the woke left, the woke right is generally defined as victimhood-based identity politics whose martyr groups are whites, Christians, men, and straight people. Here's the academic and author James Lindsay, who's just been in the country on a speaking tour as a guest of the New Zealand Free Speech Union, giving his take on this evolving movement.
And James, you mentioned the term woke right. It's a term you and I have both used, but it'd be interesting to talk about it for a number of reasons. But first of all, what do you mean by that term? Because a lot of people are very confused about it.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the best term. It's more accurate to I don't use the word woke too, I use it a little too casually still, generally speaking, but I've tried to be very specific when it comes to it, to use the phrase woke Marxism, as in that it's a species of Marxist thought, yada, yada, yada. So we can very easily place that on the Marxist left, right? Well, woke right, another term that might work for that is woke fascism. And just like woke Marxism is technically woke neo-Marxism, this could be called woke neo-fascism. The more syllables...
Why is it woke?
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. So there are kind of two ways to look at why it's woke. And one is kind of philosophical and one is practical. The practical side is look at how they behave. They behave exactly like the woke. There's the targeted influence campaigns. There's the manufacturing of what the postmodernists called legitimation by paralogy or whatever. They create the illusion that there's massive support for this and massive distaste for that, using social media manipulations like we just talked about. They are highly invested in identity politics. The answer for them to leftist identity politics is a reaction identity politics or reactionary identity politics, equal and opposite, or in biblical terms, answering evil with evil, which the Bible says not to do, by the way, very specifically. And so there's this, you know, grievance, identity, everything's bad for white Christian men, straight white Christian men. We're the oppressed minority under this. There's an ideology, and this kind of bleeds into the philosophical idea, but we'll get more specific with that in a second. There's this kind of belief that there's this ruling class that's erected an ideology to marginalize people like them. That sounds very much like woke, except instead of saying that it's like the white people create the white ruling class created white supremacy to marginalize people of color, especially black and indigenous, and their ways of knowing from getting inside, the woke right or the woke fascist side says instead that following World War II, on the back of Hitler and the idea of never again, there was erected a post-war liberal consensus starting in the 1940s, immediately starting in 1945. The creation of the United Nations was part of this. The signing on to the United Nations was part of this. They assigned William Buckley to Bill Buckley to having done a route to drive the true conservatives to the margins so that a false post-war liberal consensus conservative movement could rise up, the neocons, and hold them out. So the neocons become this kind of hegemonic force within the conservative faction that edges out so-called true conservatism and these more dangerous, so to speak, ideas like fascist ideas, like Carl Schmitt's ideas about unbound executives and friend-enemy politics and so on, that these ideas all had to be pushed to the side on the pretext that World War II or a Adolf Hitler can never rise again. And so therefore, the true conservatives who represented conservative politics and kept at bay the beast of the left, which they say is that the right's true function is to keep at bay the left. In other words, to have a war, right versus left, with everybody in the middle, I guess, taking, you know, taking fire in the crossfire. But they believe that this post-war liberal consensus in the neoconservative movement literally was designed to marginalize their perspectives and to keep these other more radical right-wing ideas out of play. So this is a very woke way of thinking about the world, that there was a structural construction of the social and political and cultural environment designed to exclude people like them in order to be able to achieve certain political agendas. And now they believe that they've woken up to these ideas. Woke. Mm-hmm. They've found them again. They've read the forbidden philosophers, Carl Schmitt, Julius Evola, James Burnham, and so on. They've read these things, and they're bringing back a true conservatism that was excluded from politics roughly since the end of World War II on the bogus pretense of preventing the rise of another fascist like Hitler or Franco or Pinochet.
While Lindsay's take is deep and dense, mine is a bit more agrarian. Maybe, just maybe, it's simply frustration at liberal progressive politics dominating every Western institution you can name. I certainly understand that frustration and feel it deep in my bones too. And yes, I get that white men feel marginalised in a world that is outwardly hostile to them at the moment. Women can certainly empathise, ask us how we know. And while I'm not straight, having been in a same-sex relationship for 25 years, we have never once countenanced marriage. Why? Because we both believe that marriage is a male-female construct, ostensibly for the purposes of having children. Call us old-fashioned. And as we're technically part of the LGBT blah, blah, bloody blah alphabet soup, we both recoil, along with heaps of other gay folks, from the abomination it has become. I think most of you will know full well that I'm not a fan of the trans cult pride parades or of the perversion of grown men in dresses reading books to children. What kind of parent allows that? But when the woke right harp on endlessly about women only ever getting jobs at the helm of a ship or in the cockpit of a plane or footplate of a train because of DEI, and that temperamentally they are not cut out for it, or are lacking spatial awareness because we have a vagina, or that men should have those jobs because they're men's jobs, or some other wacky sexist bullshit, they tend to lose me. And look, DEI should end, even if only so we can avoid this eye-rolling hysteria from the lads. But aside from that, it erodes trust in people's abilities, and meritocracy all the way is the way to go. Also, when they tell me that as a lesbian it's my fault that the excesses of drag queen story time or trans or any other sicko crusade is squarely on me and my army of homos, I yawn. A lack of cerebral heft tends to bore me. Another woke right clue is the ending of every tweet or post with Christ is king, and he might well be, but some people also believe that the only true king is Elvis. A further feature they appear to share with the woke left, and it's a bit more under the radar at this point, but it's there, is an aversion to Jews, but for seemingly different reasons from the left. They're not above bending history around World War II to suit a certain admiration they hold for German fascism. Does bending history sound familiar to you? Does to me. Being charitable, maybe they're just critiquing the system, or maybe they're just asking questions around structural unfairness, or maybe they're trying to get to the objective truth of the world. Sure, I get that, but that's exactly what the woke left would say too. All I know is this, something amorphous is beginning to take shape, and these are the signature signs of a pendulum in full swing. Surely there is a constructive conservative stance that could be adopted as a counter to the insanity of the woke left that doesn't involve throwing the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. If we want some of the many great things about the West back, this will only achieve more deterioration and at a faster rate. You can't force people to believe in God or women back into the home or gay people to go straight. If this feels like it's the only answer to the world's ills, then you are the polar opposite of the woke left. They too want to tear it all down and create utopia, yet both methodologies feel like hell to me. And maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's being hyped, but that's what I thought of the woke left too. You know, a brief moment of madness and time, bit of insanity that will surely pass, until it didn't. Thanks for tuning in. Great to see you. Catch you next week. Cheers.